And good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A woman accused of voting illegally in both Alaska and Florida during the 2020 elections will face charges in a Florida court on December 8th. The Alaska Beacon reports that when Cheryl Ann Leslie is arraigned on felony counts of casting more than one ballot, she will become just the second person charged with voter fraud related to Alaska's 2020 election. Despite claims by some Alaskans that fraudulent voting changed the state's election results 2 years ago, no evidence of fraud on that scale has been uncovered by investigators. In January of this year, Governor Mike Dunleavy said three cases of possible voter fraud were being investigated by state troopers. The Florida case was the result of a special group of Florida investigators assigned specifically to election-related crimes. It wasn't clear whether that case was one of the three mentioned by Dunleavy. According to a public records request with the Alaska court system, only two voter misconduct cases have been filed since 2020. One remains sealed by a judge's order, making details of the case impossible to determine. The other case involves a Copper Center man who signed absentee ballots with an anti-gay epithet. Governor Mike Dunleavy secured his second term in office on Wednesday after the final ballot count. Despite sparse appearances on the campaign trail, the Republican incumbent ended the race with just over 50% of the vote.
It brings some finality, and it allows us to now move forward and really start to plan for the next 4 years. So, no, it's a good day for us. And I think it's a good day for Alaska as well.
This marks the end to a long campaign season and the beginning of another 4 years with Dunleavy at the helm, the first Republican governor in Alaska to be reelected in more than 40 years. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has this look back at his first 4 years in office and maybe what's to come.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's first term started with a very Alaskan experience. His plane couldn't take off because of bad weather. In early December 2018, he was scheduled to take his oath of office in his wife's northwest home village of Norvik, but the fog was too thick to land.
I'm Michael J. Dunleavy.
You solemnly swear or affirm.
He ended up having an impromptu swearing-in at the hub city of Kotzebue while he waited for the weather to clear. And the surprises didn't stop there. Dunleavy's first year in office was marked with chaos and controversy as the governor settled into his role. Immediately, he was faced with recovery from the November 2018 earthquake, plus a sharp drop in the price of oil.
And then very soon after that, there were dismissals of employees, there was some acrimony in the transition process, and all of that began to make us believe that this could be a very rough 4 years.
Tom Begich, an outgoing Democratic state senator, served while Dunleavy was also in the legislature. Begich says he knew him to be a conservative with a libertarian streak and says there was an expectation Dunleavy could take a hardline approach to governing. But still, Begich says he wasn't prepared for just how hardline.
Oh, I think we were all pretty surprised at the absolute degree of cuts and the absolute degree of ideology that appeared.
Then, a few months into his term, Dunleavy rolled out massive budget cuts that slashed $444 million from the state's operating budget, a 41% cut to the University of Alaska, a 75% reduction to the Marine Highway System, cuts to Medicaid, the Village Public Safety Officer Program, and elsewhere. Begich chalks some of the extreme first-year measures up to hawkish members of Dunleavy's staff, including Tuckerman Babcock and an outside budget director, Donna Ardoin.
I think he got really bad advice. And when you first walk into a job and you're new to a job, you know, you come in with all guns blazing before you realize that you all actually have to get along.
Though the cuts never fully materialized, many Alaskans saw them as a draconian attack on state services, and a campaign to recall Dunleavy launched the summer of 2019.
I think he would have been recalled, except he was blessed by a pandemic of COVID, which stopped everything in its tracks, including the recall.
Jim Lotzfeldt is a political consultant who worked for a super PAC to elect Lisa Murkowski this year. He also worked as a lobbyist while Dunleavy served in the legislature. The pandemic consumed the better part of Dunleavy's term, and though Alaska emerged with a lower death rate than most other states, its impacts on long-term health and the economy are still coming to light. Dunleavy walked a middle ground in his pandemic response. He lifted all business capacity restrictions early in the pandemic. He refused to call another emergency declaration in the fall of 2021 while hospitals overflowed and turned to crisis standards of care. Lotzfeldt says at the same time, he disregarded conservative calls to fire Chief Medical Officer Dr. Anne Zink.
I don't think ever considered firing Anne Zink. She basically rescued his political career. She's the one who brought stability to that whole response. And so he let her be her, and that allowed him to be him.
Begich says dealing with the pandemic made Dunleavy a better governor. Lotzfeldt says Dunleavy, a former Matsu state senator, softened his more extreme perspectives and became more moderate as he gained experience.
I'm being very generous, but that's what I choose to think is that being governor has allowed him to be more thoughtful and realize that the solution is more in the center. It isn't far left or far right.
In interviews, Dunleavy has said his second term will build off his first. He lists marketing natural gas, planning for Arctic shipping lanes, and improving public safety among his priorities. Lotzfeldt cautions that with so much turnover among Dunleavy's commissioners, it may be difficult to attract talented individuals, and newcomers to the administration will have a steep learning curve. Begich says that after a rocky first year, Dunleavy has built relationships with legislators. Communication between the governor and the legislature has improved. Though the next session will bring in many first-time lawmakers, he says he's optimistic about what they will accomplish.
It's absolutely clear to me that you will not see a repeat of 2019. Here I can only speak for my Senate colleagues that I've spoken with and the governor, but I have no doubt about my good faith that the Senate and the governor will find common ground on these issues.
Begich says he expects to see bipartisan coalitions in the legislature next year. He says the conditions are in place for a productive session, but it'll come down to the cooperation of everyone involved, including the governor. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Republicans hold 21 of the 40 seats in the Alaska House of Representatives after the first full run of Alaska's new ranked choice voting system. As reported by the Alaska Beacon, the 21-person total includes two candidates who had been trailing before votes were tabulated on Wednesday night. Incumbent Republican Representative Tom McKay of Anchorage trailed Democrat Denny Wells entering the day, but after votes were tabulated, he led Wells by four votes in the state's closest race. In East Anchorage, Republican Julie Collum leads nonpartisan candidate Walter Featherly after trailing him at the start of Wednesday. The results are unofficial right now, and the Division of Elections expects to certify them on November 29th. Recounts are possible. State law allows a losing candidate to request one in any race, but the candidate must pay for the recount unless the result is within 0.5%. In the Alaska Senate, former Senate President Kathy Geisel, a Republican from Anchorage, will return to office after defeating incumbent Republican Senator Roger Holland, the man who defeated her in 2020. She was among 11 Republicans elected to the 20-person Senate. Four of those Republicans, including Geisel, were elected despite the disapproval of local party officials who preferred other Republican candidates. Moderate Republicans, including Geisel, are expected in the coming days or weeks to announce the formation of a coalition Senate majority that includes the Senate's nine Democrats. There's a winter weather advisory in effect for Juneau until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. 2 to 4 inches of snow are expected overnight, with winds gusting up to 35 miles an hour tonight. The colder areas like the back loop of the Mendenhall Valley and higher elevations in the area like Eagle Crest could see higher totals of snow. Lower elevation areas will get more rain before the change to snow takes place. The low tonight, right around 32 degrees. Tomorrow, we can expect snow before noon and then changing to rain with a high of 38. But Sunday looks like it will be colder and clear with a high in the mid to upper 20s and a low Sunday night right around 20 degrees. Next week looks like it's going to be much cooler and possibly drier than this week. It's currently a breezy 37 degrees with light rain at Juneau International Airport. And a quick PSA from the city and borough of Juneau for your day after Thanksgiving. They want you to keep fog out of the drains. That stands for fat, oils, and grease. Because oil, butter, gravy, and salad dressing, sour cream. We rely on all of these this time of year, but they can build up in the pipes and restrict the flow of water. This leads to untreated wastewater backing up into your house. It can also ruin wastewater treatment systems or even the city's main treatment plants. So don't pour your fats, oils, or grease down the drain, sinks, or toilets. Even with a garbage disposal, the city's advice is put liquid fat into a jar, put a lid on it, and throw it away.